When you lose someone, when someone that you love dies, the sorrow can sometimes be debilitating. You can understand the five stages of grief intellectually, but that might not help you cope with them. And while most everyone has experienced grief at some point in their lives, it can be a process that takes years and not months to recover from. It can drain you both emotionally and physically. So the American Psychiatric Association hopes to address cases of what they call extreme debilitating grief in the new DSM. That's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. If the proposed changes are accepted, bereavement-related depression would become an official diagnosis in 2013. Joining us now, journalist Jerry Adler, who wrote about this and the passing of his son in New York Magazine. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And also Jerome C. Wakefield, professor in the School of Social Work at New York University, author of The Loss of Sadness and All We Have to Fear. Professor Wakefield, thanks for joining us as well.
Great to be here.
And I hope, Jerome, that you can help us understand exactly what this diagnosis would be and how it would change treatment of people who are suffering from this.
There are several things that are going to change potentially in the DSM-5. Right now, if you have lost somebody recently, within the last 2 months, and you're having the symptoms that are used to diagnose depression, such as sadness, loss of appetite, insomnia, lack of concentration on your usual roles, and so on, there's an exclusion. You're not automatically classified as having major depression, a mental disorder, which usually you would be if you have these symptoms. Instead, if it occurs within 2 months of the loss, and it only has these kinds of symptoms I just was describing and not more severe symptoms such as suicidal ideation or total immobilization or a total sense of worthlessness. If you don't have any of those severe symptoms and it's brief, you are not given the diagnosis of major depression. It's assumed to be part of normal grieving. The proposal is to eliminate that bereavement exclusion from major depression, to eliminate the possibility of taking somebody out of the mental illness category because they just lost somebody and are having these relatively milder symptoms of grief. So many people feel that what this is pathologizing part of what has been recognized since antiquity as the normal symptoms of grief, which include some of the symptoms of depression.
And categorizing as a mental illness, one of the people that it feels like it's pathologizing this is Jerry Adler. Explain to me your reaction when you found out they were going to make these changes, diagnostic changes. You had a strong reaction. Why?
Well, leaving depression aside, Dr. Wakefield is a psychiatrist, and he can speak to that. There's another part of this called an adjustment disorder that appears in the DSM. And another proposal alongside the depression one is to add a category of adjustment disorder related to bereavement, which is a much broader category than depression. Depression is a very strictly defined condition, and when people are depressed, they should be treated, but. Calling something an adjustment disorder, really without serious symptoms, but just a feeling of sadness and yearning and longing, to me represents pathologizing something that is really a part of the human condition.
But you lost your 21-year-old son.
Yes.
And was that grief debilitating for you? Was it overwhelming?
For a period afterwards, I was depressed, and there's no question about that. Now and I expect for the rest of my life, I'm going to be experiencing many of the symptoms or emotions. I don't want to call them symptoms. of adjustment disorder, and they're not going away, I don't feel that adjusting to the death of my son is anything that I should strive for.
I'd like to just say that first of all, as Jerry's described quite well, the proposal isn't just to make the symptoms of depression into a disorder if they occur right after death of a loved one, but also to add this other category. So it's a second change, which means that the symptoms of grief itself that aren't depressive symptoms like yearning, disbelief, feeling of emptiness or meaninglessness, and the kinds of sorrow that go on in grief would themselves become pathological if they lasted beyond, say, 12 months or so. Now, I think, as Jerry has pointed out, this is going to pathologize what we know is a fairly normal process that often lasts longer than 12 months.
Couldn't it help some people? I mean, there are people who have a very tough time ever getting over these periods of grief. What you're describing as sort of a natural process mm-hmm. of grieving and mourning, for some people, doesn't that become a debilitating illness? And couldn't a change like this help them?
It's absolutely true that when you lose someone you love, there is a risk of developing a mental disorder, of becoming immobilized enduringly, of the trajectory of healing not occurring at all. But recent research on normal grief really supports, I think, what Jerry was saying and what many people know commonsensically. Grief isn't something that's a series of steps and then you're over it. Grief is something where you grapple with a loss that will be part of you for the rest of your life, and you come to compromise between needing to go on with your life and compartmentalizing the loss, knowing when, you know, maybe you're reminded to, you'll feel certain things, but it won't be debilitating. So it's absolutely true that even right now, you can diagnose somebody who is immobilized, debilitated, and there should be the possibility of doing that. The problem with these criteria and the problem that critics are having with it is that they seem to create blanket diagnoses that are going to be easily applicable to many, many people.
I see.
And make them a target of drug development. In other words, they're too broad. They're
right.
Not narrow enough. What we know about grief is that people generally still feel yearning at 12 months, but now they'll be diagnosable. That kind
right.
of thing.
Jerome Wakefield is professor in the School of Social Work and Psychiatry at New York University and author of The Loss of Sadness. Jerry Adler, journalist, and wrote about grieving, in your case, over your son in New York Magazine. As someone who has relatively recently experienced probably overwhelming sorrow, I mean, I can't imagine a loss more painful than the loss of your own child. Would it have helped to be able to go and see someone? Would it have helped to have someone say, it's okay, this is normal, this is what we call this is a diagnosis, and we can prescribe something to help you sleep. We can prescribe something to help you get over it.
Oh, sure. And in fact, for a time after my son's death, I did seek professional help and receive it. There are two aspects to this. Medically, if someone is depressed, he wants to be treated, he should be treated. There's no question about that. Philosophically, call something like something such as I'm experiencing now an adjustment disorder implies that there is an adjustment that should be made, that one should strive to overcome these feelings which Dr. Wakefield described of yearning and longing and emptiness I don't think that's reasonable or desirable in my case.
Labeling it as a problem makes it unhealthy. Is that the problem?
Well, I know it's a little demanding, but one must distinguish between the need for treatment or help. People need help for all sorts of reasons versus classifying what you need help for as a mental disorder. Once it's put in the category of mental disorder, a very different medical attitude occurs, and also people's attitudes change. So something has gone wrong with the way you're functioning. People come in for help during grief, for instance. People normally have trouble sleeping when they've just lost a loved one. People feel anxiety about their future if they've lost somebody who they depended on for financial support and so on. So there's a lot of reasons people come in, and psychiatry recognizes this, that people come in for conditions that are not mental disorders, that are great distress, marital problems,
right.
and so on, adolescent adjustment. So the question here is, should we push this whole category into the category of mental disorder?
Jerry Adler seems to be no. Jerry Adler is a journalist who wrote about grieving in the New York Magazine, and Jerome Wakefield, who you just heard, is professor in the School of Social Work and Psychiatry at New York University, author of The Loss of Sadness. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a link to Jerry Adler's article in New York Magazine. You can visit it at thetakeaway.org. And we'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.